All right, so we start a series last week called Go and Tell Them. Go and tell them, right? It's as simple as that. The Great Commission, you know, says that we should go, right, and make disciples. We need to tell the people about Jesus and the good news, right? The word gospel, good news, from the Greek evangelion, it just means simply that, the good news. And when you come here, we hope that you hear good news. You leave refreshed, and you leave, you know, in a way that you feel like, hey, you know, I have some hope. I had a tough week, but now I've heard a word that's really going to propel me, you know, for what God has in store for me. So last week, remember, just a little review, we called it redirected. Redirected. And we said there was two kinds of redirection. Some people need to be redirected from a path to destruction. And some people need to be redirected, you know, by getting in line with what God has called them to do. God has called you to impact people. Right? So check this scripture, John 3:16 through 18, and I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Come on, that's about being redirected. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." He didn't come here to accuse it, to make us feel worse, to push us down. But what does it say that he came to do? Right? But that the world through him might be saved. Folks, we need to realize that we're all on a path of destruction without Jesus. Jesus is not condemning us. We already stand condemned. Look what it says in verse 18. "He who believes in him is not condemned." Right? It's talking about a judgment. A judgment I have made about you, because all of us have broken at least one law. The Bible says if you break one law, you're guilty of them all. All of us have missed the mark. That's what sin means. All of us have done something that offends God. And the Bible says the moment you do that, it disqualifies us. We're all without Jesus in a path to hell. Every single one of them. Even Pastor Joseph, as perfect as he is, you know, he needed Jesus, you know. Pastor Karen laughs because he knows what I'm talking about. You know, just he's a, you know, he needed to get saved too. We all need to get saved. Hallelujah. In verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Our deeds are evil, and there's the light of Jesus, and he's saying, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Come on, the word came forth today. Who are we going to serve? As I was praying, I didn't feel, you know, led to release this word, but I'm going to release it now. You know, you guys know that at the times of Daniel, laws were written to cause for Daniel and his friends to get into trouble with the law. And so the laws were written in such a way that put the people that loved God on the wrong side of the law. And I want to tell you, there's going to be persecution in America. There's already been some people that have gotten in trouble. You talk about those bakers, you know, in Oregon and Colorado and in different places, because they've chosen to stand for what they believe. They found themselves on the other side of the law. And that is coming. And God is saying, "I'm sifting my people like the wheat." And we need to decide today who we're going to serve. Come on, let's pick the light. Let's pick the light. Let's pick the hope. And let me tell you, it's not even about Republicans and Democrats. Some of us want the government to save us. In the last 2 weeks, I was telling Pastor Marge about this. God has been speaking to me about that passage in Joshua where he came up before an angel. And the angel, you know, so he didn't know who the angel was. So he said, "Hey, are you with us or are you against us?" This is Joshua speaking to the angel. And the angel said, "I'm neither." And the point of that story is to say, it's not about God blessing us and God getting on our side. He's saying, are we going to get on his side? Are we going to get on his side? Amen. So we need to be redirected. Some of you, today is the day of salvation. I'm so excited about this. I believe some people are going to respond for the first time, you know, to the message of salvation. I believe that some people are going to come back to Jesus today. You could be here for the first time. You could be in here, you know, 40 years. But if you need to come into Jesus today, this is your day. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor, this message is for you today. I really believe some people are going to get redirected today. Amen. Hallelujah. So some people just need to be, decide if you're going to be hot or cold for Jesus. Are you hot or cold? Because he doesn't like lukewarm. He doesn't like lukewarm. Look what Revelation 3:15 and 16 says. I know all the things that you do. And he's talking to a church. These are people that are believers. But he said that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The time is coming. We got to pick sides. We can't have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, straddling the fence. You know, we're not living our lives in the public lot, in the public arena in a way that people could tell that we're believers. The Bible says anybody who chooses to follow Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to come. So let's choose to say, and I'm deviating a little bit from my message, but I believe that, you know, from what God's saying through my spirit, I need to share these things with you. Shiloh, we're going to shine with the light of Jesus in the manner that we choose to draw closer to Him. And our appetites, you know, are merged into Him. Come on, that He's the best thing in our life. He's the greatest thing in our life. The Bible says, what is the profit of man if you win the whole world, yet you forfeit your soul? Yet you forfeit your soul. We don't want to forfeit our souls at the end of the day. Hallelujah. But anyway, our base scripture for today is Romans 10, 5 through 15. And I'm going to go quickly through this. It says, for Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. Right? It says, hey, in order for you to be right with God, you need to follow the laws. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't send your heart. Who will go up to heaven? Like, oh, he's so far from us to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? Maybe some people thought, hey, he died. You know, he's gone. No. In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It's right here before us today. It's in your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. The one that we're always talking about. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. If you believe, hey, He is the one that was born of a virgin, just as it was prophesied that He was going to be the Messiah, the anointed one, that He was going to come and be born, you know, humbly into Bethlehem. Hallelujah. And one day He was going to die for all the sins. And then the third that He was going to, you know, resurrect. Hallelujah. And He showed us He had power, life and death. If you believe that, then it says, if you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved. And the moment that you do that, the Bible says that your name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life. Yep, one day when you die, or if the rapture occurs, or however you get there, and they're going to say, oh, is that person's name here? Yes. Father, it's right here. All right, he's one of mine. He accepted my sacrifice. Come on, let him in. Hallelujah, because he's our greatest advocate. Yes. Enjoy your rest. Hallelujah. The word says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. And it says, again, verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith. We're talking about going and telling them today. Go and tell them is the series we're in. We got to openly declare our faith. It's not just about telling the person that's a believer already, because that's important. If you just got saved, you need to go tell your mom, go tell your dad, go tell your friends, your cousins. But eventually, you're going to have to go tell people. They're like, what are you talking about? And that's okay. Your job is just to go tell them, to sow the seed. God does all the reaping. Amen? Hallelujah. But here's the thing. There's power in the mouth. We got to understand this, people. It's interesting that it says it's not just by believing, but it says that you have to declare it. Why? Is this the way God designed this, people? I'm encouraging you to go out and share the gospel by doing this, because God created all of creation through His mouth. He said, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be water, let there be animals and plants. Right? It was with His mouth. The Bible says that in order for anything to be established, any judgment for somebody to be declared guilty, there have to be at least two witnesses. Two people would step forward and with their mouth say, yes, I saw this person do this. And another person would step up and say, yep, I also saw this person do it. As long as there was two witnesses, everything would be established and that judgment would be declared. And then obviously that there would be a punishment fitting the crime. But it needed to be two witnesses. Something happens when we declare, we've heard that this is the year of the mouth. There's something when we release something out of our mouth. We were made in the image of God, and when we declare Jesus is the real God, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus changed me. I don't know a whole lot. I used to be blind, but now I can see. And when that comes out of your mouth, it's like something happens in the spiritual realm. The demons hear you. Jesus hears you. Come on, everybody around you hears you. And come on, and something gets established. Just like when God created the earth, something begins to form, and your life begins to be put on the right path. That's what we must declare. We can't just go. We got to tell them. It's got to come out of our mouths. This is a simple gospel. As the scripture tells us in verse 11, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. It's for everybody. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Come on, everybody read this verse with me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. It applies to everyone. It is simple. They don't have caveats for Jews and for Gentiles. We all need the same Savior, Jesus Christ. We all need to come in, and it's already been paid for. You just have to receive Him today. Hallelujah. There is no culture that has the upper hand. The Jews don't have it. The Americans don't have it. You know, we don't have special status. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Verse 14. This is another key. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? You first have to believe him. When we said that, then you declare. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can your friends, your cousins, your coworkers, the people of the line, you know, just this week, you know, we've been praying for a man who we was just told was, they declared that he had cancer. And I told the waitress that, you know, has been telling us on our Wednesday morning breakfast. I said, hey, we're going to visit your husband. We're going to come see him. We're going to come see him. And finally, we decided this Wednesday, we're going to come see him. And all of a sudden, we got noticed, oh, yeah, he's busy. We're not going to be able to go see him. It's like, oh. And guess what? He showed up to the same restaurant, you know, at 6:30. And you know, we prayed and I said, okay, Lord, I just felt, you know, the anointing, you know, that God wanted me to share with him. And we went over there and we just, you know, calmly shared the scriptures with him. And he started tearing up and he received Jesus in his heart. And you saw the hope begin to come into his heart. Hallelujah. His name is John. And Mark was there. So both Mark and I, you know, got to share, you know, the good news with him. So what a special win. We got to be ready in season, out of season, to share the hope that defend the faith that we have. Hallelujah. In verse 15, how will anyone go and tell them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why we got to prepare. That's why we are having the discipleship classes. And some people are coming out of the third level here soon, and we're going to be able to send you. We're going to lay hands on you. And you can go out and do whatever God's called you to do. Go start a connection group, you know, if you want to go into missions. But now you're going to be equipped with the word and with the anointing. You know, people are supposed to be sent. I know some people have a dream in their heart, and sometimes they send themselves. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Acts 13 shows us the path. It says that while they were in prayer and fasting, and it says that the Holy Spirit spoke to those prophets and said, hey, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas, for this special mission. And that was the first missionary trip they had. And they went into many places preaching the gospel, many salvations and healings and miracles that's supposed to happen. That's the fullness of the gospel. Amen. And then it says, this is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Come on. Come on. It's so beautiful when somebody receives Jesus, somebody receives the good news. We need to go out and tell them. In this last day, God is looking for people like those of the first church who are willing to even leave their day jobs. Come on. I'm willing to leave my day job because God's told me it's time. I have to. You know, some people that maybe you're at work and you're thinking, how can I serve Jesus? And you're at school, how can I serve Jesus? I see young people leaving, you know, after high school and say, I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to go to an internship. I'm going to go to a seminar for a year. I'm going to sow 1 year of my life to the Lord. Because I want to see what God has for me. I don't want to get 10, 20, 30 years into my life and realize that I've missed it or that I've wasted time. Once again, what is the profit of man if you win the whole world, if you have this amazing career away from God? if you forfeit your soul. There's a simplicity of the gospel. I'm going to give you three key points here that are so simple. It's going to be just some verbs. Point number one, we need to obey. We need to obey. Matthew 28, Mark 16, John 21, all the different forms of the Great Commission, Acts 1, they're not an option. It's a command. Yes, it's better when we do with excitement, but ultimately we need to obey. God wants us to go out, right? If Jesus is asking me to do it, then I'm going to do it. Look what Isaiah 6, 8 says. When God called Isaiah, he was a young man. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. God wants to send people. There's people that need to be warned about the impending destruction. There's people that are dying out there. Come on, look at the political landscape. People need a hope. They're dying. They feel so divisive and spiteful and disconnected. They need Jesus today. And I want to tell you, if you sow your dream into God, if it's God's dream for your life, He will give it back to you. I want everyone to say, you know, God, I want you to give me your dream. I want to answer your dream. I want to go out and fulfill your dream. Young people, this is for you. I really believe that, you know, in my prayers have been about young people all the time. Lord God, I'm praying that many young people will begin to answer the call and begin to say, yeah, I want to go on short-term mission trips. I want to go to, you know, long-term mission trips. I want to go to Bible school. I want to be a pastor. I want to be an evangelist, or, you know, or I want to make money, but I'm going to share the gospel wherever I go. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to be a counselor. You know, I'm going to be a taxi driver, but wherever you go, you're a messenger of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to do it, people. If you obey His call, He will equip you along the way. And eventually, you're going to have to care more about what God says than what man tells you. You will never be able to complete your assignment as long as you fear man more than God. In one occasion, Peter and John were arrested and were strictly forbidden to speak at all or teach the name of Jesus. In Acts 4, 18, 19, it says this, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Come on, let's just obey. And I ask you, who's going to go for us? Who's going to say, here I am, send me? Point number two, have compassion. Have compassion. You know, Jesus' motivation was love and compassion. Love and compassion. But you got to have compassion. Matthew 9, 36 and 37 says that when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. How many of there's a bunch of people out there confused? You know, I think there's some people in this room that are confused and helpless. But you've come to the right place. God made you, and He made you to know Him. The Bible says that eternity was written into the hearts of men. There's a void in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And when He fills that void, everything makes sense. Even when you have difficulties and strife, you will have the peace of God to undergird you. It'll just prop you up in the darkest times. Why? Because you know who you are and where you're going. But Jesus' love that we're talking about, oh, but let me finish that verse. It says, He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Let's go and tell them. But the love of Jesus is not this love that we keep hearing preached in the news. It's a completely different kind of love. It's not this whamby-pamby, do whatever feels good kind of love. Let me be tolerant to me, you know. Let me live my life however I want kind of love. Jesus spoke of love, but His love made Him obey all the laws. He said, I've not come to abolish the law. I said, I've come to fulfill it. You hear all over the news, all we need is love. All we need is love. But that's not the love. And who defines love? Yes. Because God is love. God is truth. God is. Everybody say, God is love. Come on. You want a definition of love? Look at Jesus. Unfailing love. Unconditional love. Look at John 17. What did he say? I sanctify myself for the sake of my disciples. I live a life that's holy and separate unto God. That's how I show my love for you. The only love that will win is Jesus' love, not humanistic, powerless love. That love doesn't change anyone. It's an empty love. Don't fall for that, people. Don't fall for that. That tolerant love. And there was a prophet named Jonah. I remember the story of Jonah and the big fish. There was a believer who lacked compassion. He lacked compassion. And God had to break him. But ultimately he obeyed. And he went. Why? He didn't love the Assyrians. They were ruthless people in the capital of Nineveh. It's like, I don't want anything to do with those people. Why do you want me to go there? So God had to put him through the ringer. You know, when God has his eye on a man or a woman, he has ways of breaking you. But ultimately, you have to decide, I will do it. So after 3 days in the belly of the fish, we see that. It's a short book. Read it. It's like, I can give it to you as homework. You know, you'll read that in like a, 10 minutes. 4 quick chapters about the life of Jonah. But eventually, he went and he preached. And guess what? The whole city repented. They went into fasting. Even the animals were made to fast. And they went, they just broke down in repentance, and that city was saved. And sometimes we think, oh, I don't know about those people. They're so lost. You know, and you fill in the blank. What is the type of people? Oh, the Muslims. I don't know about those. I'd rather go to this Latin America. I don't know about going to the 1040 window. No. Somebody's got to go to the 1040 window. Somebody's got to go to the Silk Road, right, between China and the Middle East, where there's the greatest concentration of people that haven't heard Jesus. You know, who's going to go tell the LGBTQ plus crowd, oh, not them, God. I don't want to go to them. They won't repent. But when God says go, come on, Jonah, get out there. Amen. Tell them, because maybe one or two or many will come into Jesus when they see the love of Jesus. Come on, even those people were made to know the love of Jesus. And when the light of God hits you, it's spirit-to-spirit connection. And they realize, wait a second, I need Jesus. You know, this lifestyle doesn't satisfy me. What I need is Jesus. Are you understanding? We got to love them. Somebody has to go and tell them. What about the drug addicts? Oh, not them. They're too difficult. Too much work. Come on, Teen Challenge. Isn't it amazing? Somebody said, we're going to go after, you know, people that have addictions and bondage. Hallelujah. So what we do is we ask God for compassion. None of us have the compassion of God when we come into it. We all have limited love. Yes, some people have, you know, they were given the gift of mercy, you know, as a motivational gift. That means that you were born more merciful than others. But I'm telling you, even your mercy runs out. Even your compassion runs out up to a point. You know, to a point. This time you say, you know what, God, I'm done. I've tried hard enough. But then when you go into the prayer room and you say, God, would you allow me to see the people how you see them? Come on, I want to see your compassion that you have for them. And he says to you, I love them. I love them just as they are. Will you go and tell them? Will you go to this people? He said, Jesus, because I love you, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what happens to me. What's the matter if they persecute me? If I look foolish? If they reject me? Because you'll love me. I want to love on those people with your love. But you got to fill me with your compassion. And you continually pray for those people. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. You know, Jesus spoke about a good Samaritan. And there was a man who obeyed and was compassionate. But it says in that parable, which is very likely a true story, says that a high priest and a Levite, which was supposed to be the religious people, walked right past the man that was left for dead on the side of the road. But it was the Samaritan, the one that nobody would give anything for, that stopped by and picked up that man and cleansed his wounds and dropped him off at an inn and told the innkeeper, I'll go the extra mile, whatever you need. Yeah, you take care of this man until he's good to go. I will pay for it. Come on. We got to go and tell him. We got to ask God for his compassion. And last point, point number 3, we just got to simply, we got to go and tell them. We must go where the lost are. We must go where the lost are. Acts 1:8 says, Jesus gave the great commission to the disciples like this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. For us, that's Sierra Vista. You know, I pray for Cochise County, and I pray for Arizona, and I pray for the United States. But he's saying all over the world. This is until every tribe and tongue, every nation out there, every kind of ethnic group has heard the gospel. It says that's the way we can hurry Jesus coming back, is when we get the gospel out to every person. There's you know, places like Christ for the Nations Institute and many missionary organizations, they have strategized the world. How do we get the word out? You know, there's the Wycliffe, you know, Bible translators that they said, how do we get the message in the language in a way that it can be understood by every single group type, ethnic group, race out there in the world? Because we know when that happens, then Jesus will return. Come on, we need to help Jesus come back sooner. Hallelujah. We need to help him hurry this up. Hallelujah. So our base scripture said, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of messengers. So back then, they didn't have nice roads like we do today. It says they would wash each other's feet because they were beat up from all the rocks and the dirt. And just, you travel to places on foot or on a donkey or something like that. Come on, now we have nice roads. We can go everywhere. But how beautiful. You know, now you can just travel. Get on a plane. Go do a mission trip, you know, over the weekend and be back by Monday. That's how the world has gotten smaller. We can go pretty much anywhere. But still, how beautiful are the feet of the people that are willing to go and tell them. You know, so I want to talk about shoes here for a second before I finish. You know, the first thing about shoes is you gotta take off some shoes. You gotta take off your shoes. When God called Moses, he says, Moses, you know, from the bush, the burning bush, remember that story? What did he say to him? Take off your sandals. Because the place where you stand is a holy place. When you draw first to Jesus, he says, are you going to surrender? Taking your shoes off is equivalent of surrender. Are you going to surrender? Now, once you've done that, now he says, now put on your shoes. Put on your gospel shoes. It's interesting that theme is throughout the scriptures. We hear about the prodigal son. When he returned to his father, he says, he gave him a ring, you know, which meant authority. He gave him, you know, a new robe, which meant righteousness. You know, he's in right standing with him and the family and everything. He's got his rightful place. And then it says that he gave him shoes, brand new shoes. Brand new shoes to go and tell people. Amen. When Joseph went from the jail to second in command in all of Egypt, it says that they cleaned him up. That represents, you know, salvation. And then it says they gave him a ring from the king, from the Pharaoh. So here's a ring of authority. And then he says that they gave him a brand new robe. And then it says that he gave him a chariot. You know, so he could go all over, you know, the nation of Egypt, spreading the good news or the mission that God had called him on, that the king had called him to do. And God wants you to take off your shoes of surrender and put on the shoes of the gospel on this morning. Are you willing to surrender to him today? Hallelujah. I'm going to read from from Romans chapter 10, verses 4 to 15 to close this out. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. If you say, I will go, God will prepare you. He will empower you and he will embolden you to do this work. There's a simplicity to the gospel. If you're saved, obey, have compassion, and go and tell them. Obey, have compassion, and go and tell them.